This conference is being recorded.
Okay, we're back. Okay, I just want to welcome everybody to this call. It's a teleconference on friendships, and it's being brought to you by the Highly Sensitive Person Friendship Circle. And we have members from all over the country and the world, so I really appreciate you coming. This topic has really been a really hot topic because I've been getting emails and, you know, people question me about different things, and a lot of it is dealing with friendships. And, you know, if friendships are, friendships are hard for everyone, but it seems that highly sensitive people think that it seems to be more problems with friendships than others. And, you know, I just want to get some thoughts on that. Any thoughts on what you'd like to learn on the call, or just any thoughts in general? Any comments or questions?
Well, should we say our name before we talk, or should we just talk?
Well, you know what? You can just talk because you know, people are going to be, as I said, this is going to be recorded, so I'm going to send this recording to other members of the group. So if you want to just make a comment or, you know, whatever you'd like to mention, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I've been thinking about friendships, you know, for a long time. And I'm going to throw something out that's a little unusual. I have several cats and a dog, and I find that the truth and integrity and authenticity of my pets is preferable to most people. That's not to say I'm a hermit or that I'm reclusive. I'm not. I go out in the world. I, you know, do my thing. I do have other friends. I get along with my neighbors. So I'm not, you know, sort of under a rock. However, having said that, I'll say that my pets, my cats and my dog, are so truthful and honest and sincere and authentic that I actually prefer, you know, being with them to being with people. And that worries me a little bit. So I'll just throw that out to get the ball rolling.
Oh, okay. Do we have any pet owners on the call?
No. Oh, hi. I'm Martha. I don't have any, but now I think that may have been Phil that spoke, and I saw the picture with the animal, one of her animals, and he remembers that, and it's great. I would just like to say that I'm exactly the opposite. I have always had many friends from the time I was a child. There were eight of us that hung around together, and I also have many, many friends and close friends, intimate friendships that are the backbone of my life. They're my nourishment, actually. I'll just toss this out.
Okay.
I just want to say the only problem I have at times is because I'm a highly sensitive person, and I also have suffered from anxiety throughout my life, probably due to extreme trauma suffered in childhood, although I've had a lot of therapy, you know, to work through stuff, that I can, even after many years, and I have many friends and people that love me, and I'm in groups and respected, et cetera, I will get little insecurities and afraid that if I say the wrong thing, that they're going to disappear, and it doesn't happen, but that is just my own anxiety / sensitivity.
Okay. Well, you know, okay, well, the thing is, what we try to do on the call, we try to get opinions. Everybody has different thoughts and different opinions, and I want everyone to feel safe to view their, you know, to share their thoughts, because this is going to be a safe, supportive, and non-judgmental atmosphere. And I think that different opinions, different thoughts are, you know, just make the world go around, and that's why, you know, the purpose of the call is to really get these thoughts out. I really relate to a lot of what Phil said, because I am an animal lover, and sometimes I find that it is easier to be with my pets. You know, it's just they don't judge you, unconditional love, and sometimes when I need that break, I mean, it's very comforting to have, you know, well, my dog passed away last year, but I have two cats, and it's very comforting to pet them, to talk to them, and so I can understand exactly, you know, what Phil meant. But also, I think we need a balance in our lives, and that's the purpose of friendships. Any other pet owners on the call that can relate to what Phil said?
Well, I think they write about it. I know they do on HSP Book that I've expressed my feelings about pets before, and people have agreed and chimed right in and so forth.
Well, the thing is, there are differences. You know, as I said, pet owners are a different. I'm not saying different, but the thing is, unless you have a pet or experience having a pet, there's really a strong bond there. And sometimes it's a good escape to the outside world. And sometimes we could meet other people through our pets. That's another thing. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we can really relate to. I've been getting a lot of questions. Any other thoughts on that subject? Any other thoughts, opinions, or whatever?
Cliff,
This is Tamara. I just joined late. What was the question?
Okay, well, we were talking about how pets can be a good substitute for maybe not getting out and meeting people because we find comfort in our pets.
Okay, I got you. Okay. I can relate to that.
Okay. You know, it's something that I just mentioned that it's very comforting to have a pet, and, you know, unless you're a pet owner, you could really understand that. It's really, you can meet, as I mentioned before, you can meet other like-minded people by maybe doing things with your pet. They have different activities, different meetup groups, and also they have, charitable events where they have, like, pet walks and things like that. So that might be a good place to, you know, to meet other people.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking, as I said, about, we want to talk about friendships. I want to get into that. HSPs, to me, it seems that HSPs seem to think that it's a little harder for them to develop relationships. Do you agree, or is it something that you think it's a more common problem with everyone?
I think it's more exhausting. I mean, from my point of view, it's just more exhausting for us because we're just more sensitized and expect more from people than what they're, you know, willing to give. But yet we're willing to give, you know, 110%.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that it's, you know, exhausting to be putting out and asking deep questions and trying to connect and having good eye contact. I know I do that with just about anybody I meet, and I give a lot, and I expect a lot. I like deep conversations. I don't like idle chit-chat. I don't like superficiality. I don't like going to lunch and yakking throughout the whole meal. I find that I get indigestion.
Yes.
I tend to be a little Buddhist in my philosophy, and I've been on a couple of retreats, and eating in silence is beautiful, and digestion is easy, and when I am with someone who's, you know, yakking throughout the whole lunch, I guess I'm making two points. I am making two points. Number one is that I don't like talking throughout a whole meal with anybody. Okay,
right.
That's one point. And the second point is I'm piggybacking on what the other lady just said. I'm sorry, I don't know your name, but what you just said about HSPs, you know, going for quality, you know, not quantity, but quality, going for, you know, in-depth conversations and meaningful conversations and connections, and we give and we connect, and I expect that back. And when I don't get it, I'll either drop the person or, you know, feel very, very disappointed.
Okay, that's something I think a lot of us can relate to. Do you think we're not as tolerant of others as maybe we could be?
I think so. I mean, I'm learning to be more tolerant I'm 46 years old, but at this point I'm finally learning it, but before, I mean, I wasn't tolerant at all.
Okay, well, I think that we really have to, it's very important that highly sensitive people find their element, whether it be an environment, whether it be a friendship. And it seems that, I relate to a lot of what you said, that, we tend to get into deeper types of conversations and we kind of think a little differently than others. And sometimes it can be a challenge to find other people like us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Friendships are important because, studies have shown that people live longer and have happier lives when they socialize with other people.
Mm-hmm. Definitely,
and
yeah.
It doesn't make any difference how many friendships you have.
No.
But it is the quality of it.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, I just want to throw this out to the group. Do you think that we place too much pressure on ourselves to find friends? Or do you think that it's just a problem with everyone to find like-minded people, regardless of what their, mindset is? Is there undue pressure that we place on ourselves?
I joined this 10 minutes late, but what's the definition of friendship? Is it someone you send a Christmas card to, once a year? Acquaintance, friendship, what's the difference?
Well, okay, this just gets me into what a friendship is. And a friendship is different things to different people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can have different kinds of friendships. You can have, friends that you, in your intimate circle. You can have people that you socialize with. You can have people that you get specific information from. If you're doing a certain kind of activity, you might want to have a friend with that. So a friendship can mean many things. And that you could have many different types of friendships with many different people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, the thing is, when you think of friendship, you think of something positive, okay? There's a friendly connection. Words that come to mind, I looked up synonym for friendship, and it can be harmony, understanding, rapport, goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
These are all positive things. And sometimes, we really have to venture forward to pick friends, because sometimes, I don't know, in my particular case sometimes you kind of gravitate in friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And we also gravitate towards, sometimes if we're in relationships, sometimes we don't pick our relationships. Sometimes we might stay in relationships longer than we should.
Mm-hmm.
And in qualities, what qualities do you look for in good friendships? I have some ideas about that, but I'd like to get some, I'd like to get some thoughts from the group. What qualities do you look for in a good friendship?
Does someone else
want
to go? Go ahead.
This is Jennifer. I would say genuineness. I don't know the lady that was speaking before, but she said something that she doesn't like. People who are fake, and I find that I'm the same way. If people aren't themselves and they aren't genuine, I usually will not want to spend time around them. To me, there's no meaning in being fake. I don't understand the point.
And I think superficiality is what I was saying, that if people are speaking superficially, talking about other people that they know or friends of friends, in other words, not direct from their heart to my heart, from their brain to my brain.
Okay.
And when I think of my good friend, I think of a woman named Janet, and she is soft-spoken, she is very kind, she's very understanding, she is an HSP. But I didn't know that when I met her. When I met her, we met at a work situation. I didn't know she was an HSP, but she happens to be, and I found that out later. But I'm attracted to the sincere, the deep conversation, the, genuine, the authentic.
Okay. I want to hear some other adjectives of good friendships, things that you look for, because it's very easy to I don't know, it's very easy to think of things that you don't want in a friendship. And I find that when I concentrate on, or when I, you know, have strong feelings about what I want in something rather than what I don't want, then I tend to find what I do want. So, you know, are there any qualities that you would like? You know, you can have a smorgasbord of what kind of qualities do you want in a friend? And I think that's the first thing we really have to go for. If we're not socializing with people that we don't, that we don't have things in common with, you know, what can we do to, I think we first have to know the qualities that we're looking for, what kind of friends we want, and maybe not place pressure on ourselves to be in friendships. Sometimes we might do that. We feel that we're not socializing enough, or we want to go out. We want to get out. But what other kinds of things are in good friendships? I can start the ball off by saying, you know, a friend is somebody who will increase your self-esteem. Okay, you don't need people that
definitely.
You know, that's something you need, somebody that's going to build you up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think
go ahead.
I mean, for me, the main thing, and I'm looking at this from, I mean, I grew up in the Midwest and I moved to the East Coast and I've lived here for 12 years. And the main thing I see now is people that I run into in my work environment and everyday life, they don't know how to listen. All they want to do is yak about this and that and what's bothering them. And to me, the most important element of friendship is having a listening skill to actually care about what somebody's actually telling you.
So that's a good. So that's a good point. You want someone who's a good listener.
Right.
That's a good one. Also, you know, when you're in a friendship, you want to be happy to see someone. Rather than feel that you obligated to see somebody.
Well, that's a relative. That's not a friend. That's a relative.
Okay. Well, you know, but that's, you know, that's something we have to deal with too. I mean, with friendships, we can pick our friends, but we can't pick our relatives. Is that true?
And you can pick your nose. Yes, I've heard that.
For me.
So you know, let's concentrate on picking friends. Okay. You know, you want somebody who's going to accept you the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you don't want someone who wants you to change.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you? This is a question to the group. How many times have you been in a situation where people don't want you to be so sensitive?
Just let it roll off your shoulder.
Right. I mean, we can't change who we are, and I don't think it isn't a bad thing to be who we are, and. We do, you know, the term is really a term. It's a term. It's not a label.
Right.
Okay. And sometimes, if we label ourselves, other people will label us. Okay. And the thing is, it's just a reference point. Okay. It's not when you. I don't know. I just get the feeling that sometimes when we label ourselves or label other people, there's a negative connotation to it. So, you know, we can. It's just HSP is just a term. I should really have made this friendships rather than HSP friendships. But it's really HSP is talking about friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I think that we are different, we are unique, and we have different needs. And I think it's okay if we acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's okay if we acknowledge it, but also we can take the initiative to find other people that we like to be around.
Right.
Okay? And that's
absolutely.
Why I want to mention the positive parts about it, because, you know, sometimes we might be in friendships that we've had for years. And maybe the friendships, that's another thing that I want to point out, the friendships that you have now, are they lifting you up or tearing you down? That's something to think about. These are all things to think about. You know, the friends that we have now, are they friends that we've had for years? And, you know, I'm not saying you should ditch all your friends, but maybe you need to pick and choose the amount of time you are with certain people.
Right. And how do you feel after you leave the encounter? I lost a friend last year because we would meet for lunch every month or so. She was, you know, not a really close friend, but she was a friend that I saw maybe once a month. We went to lunch. But I found myself talking about how I felt about my career and my writing and what I was doing and my mother's health and how I felt about that and how I felt about my sisters. And I found myself disclosing a lot. And this lady would just sit there with a blank expression and not disclose anything.
Mm-hmm.
She would talk about her petunias. She was a gardener. Her petunias and how she has to plant now, and now she has to get more soil, and it was all superficial. And at the end of every lunch, I actually felt tired. I felt tired. I felt exhausted, not because I had talked so much.
Right,
I didn't.
Right.
I'm very equitable in my, you know, I'm very reciprocal in my talking with someone, and I watch it. So it wasn't because I dominated the conversation, it was because I disclosed so much, and I was happy to do so. I'm very happy to do that. And she revealed nothing. So
okay.
We don't see each other anymore, and I'm just as glad.
Okay, well, but this is, people are the way they are, and there are things that we can, that, like, you know, when you have a rapport with somebody, and you kind of know after the fact, you know, after you've had, an activity or something like that, you know that you've clicked with someone. And sometimes, you know, we just have to be, we just have to be tolerant that we're not going to click with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But that we're not going to click with everybody. And I think that's going to take some of the pressure off of us because we're not going to relate to everybody. A lot of people aren't going to relate to us. And, you know, we really have
to... But that's okay.
That is okay. That is okay, and you know, we have to. It seems to me, as I said, with the correspondence that I get through email and phone calls, whatever, highly sensitive people have that need to connect, but they have to have that connection on their own terms. Okay, sometimes
right.
We need to be around people. Sometimes we can't be around people. Okay, sometimes we just. You know, it's after a hard day. If you're a hard day at work, we can't be around people. Maybe we might not be around people as much as other people would want us to be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Has anybody experienced
yeah.
that where you're in a relationship and people want to see you more than you want to see them, or you're in a, let's say you're at a party or whatever, and you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you feel pressured into staying longer than you want to? Anybody? I want to point that out. I want to throw that out to the group. Have you ever been in situations where you've been in something longer than you should have been?
Yes. With relatives, yes.
Yes. Okay. I'd like to get I'd like to get other people on the. Was that Jennifer?
Yeah. That describes me to a T. I don't have any problem making friends. I think I'm one of the small percentage of the outgoing HSPs. However, even my best friends I keep at an arm's length distance just because it's overwhelming for me to have to be doing something every weekend or every night. Or, you know, I'm, just like you said, after a day's work, and I also am a student, I go to school, I'm exhausted.
Right.
I don't have time or the energy to... have fun. I mean, it's work to have fun, and that sounds crazy.
you're right. I'm laughing not at you, but I'm just laughing because I definitely relate to that.
Yeah,
if it's,
me too.
If it's hard to have fun, something isn't right there.
Right, and I'm 40 years old, and I've just recently in the last 4 years found out that I was an HSP and that something like that existed. So I spent the majority of my life wondering what was wrong with me.
Okay, and there isn't. Mm-hmm. You see, that's the thing. That's a misconception that we all have, that if we're not the norm, that there's something not right with us, and we sometimes have that need to conform to others.
Well, Well, everybody else could do it, so why couldn't I? You know,
we
all
don't
my
have
life.
To. See, that's the thing. See, that's the thing. I think we need to know. We need to realize that we don't have to conform to others. We have to know what our needs are, and we have to. Well, we have to know what our needs are, but also we have to tell other people what our needs are too.
But I didn't know any of that before I knew I was an HSP. I didn't know.
Well, that's the importance. But that's the importance of knowing yourself, and that's the importance of learning more about this, because then you'll be able to set the boundaries that you need for yourself. Now, everybody has different boundaries, whether they're highly sensitive or not.
It's made a huge difference in the decisions that I've made. Huge.
Good. Good. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's made a huge decision in decisions that you've made, but also, don't you feel less guilty about making the decisions that you've made?
Yes, I do.
So that's very important. That's a very important point, that we shouldn't have to apologize to, quote, real friends about, you know, what we need. We shouldn't have to apologize. We shouldn't have to justify, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If people are our friends, they will not question us, and they will understand.
Right.
So that's what we need. That's what we need to go for. We need to go for friends that will understand us, will accept us, and won't question our judgment regarding this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the goal. That's really the goal. Mm-hmm. And you want somebody who's going to grow with you during good times and bad. You want to be able to confine your thoughts and feelings. I mean, we can't do that with everybody. And sometimes we get frustrated. I know that I do. I get frustrated when people don't think the way I do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a real frustrating. But that's not the way the world works. People are the way they are, and we have to accept it. And people have to accept us. So it really goes both ways. Sometimes there's intolerance on our part and also other people's parts.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
so,
HSPs have a lower tolerance for frustration. I know sometimes I do.
I think you got a good point. I do, because, you know, part of the inherited character trait is that we're perfectionists, okay? And I've mentioned, you know, in previous calls, and I mention all the time that perfectionism can be a good thing if it's not taken to an extreme, okay? If you expect everything to be perfect, let's say you're working on a project and you expect everything to go perfectly, well, you're not going to finish that project, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, if you're working on something and you try to do the best you can, see, that's a good thing. I get very frustrated in the fact that I just feel that people don't take the interest in what they do. If you're in a retail store, if you're dealing with a service department, it just it frustrates me when people don't care.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And that could be in a friendship, that could be in a business relationship, whatever. This has a lot to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
But you want something that's satisfying, and one person can't satisfy all our needs. As I said, I mentioned before that sometimes we need different people for different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's incumbent upon us to know what we need, and to find friends or friendships that will meet that need. Okay.
Well, you know, I'm a photographer, and I find that when I don't have the resources of friendships, or someone can't go to a movie or a play or a concert with me, I take my camera and I go out in nature, and I'll go to my friend's farm and I'll take pictures of all the animals, or I'll go to the arboretum, or I'll go to a park, and I find that nature, flowers and trees and beautiful pathways and country roads, sometimes I'll get in the car with my camera and I'll go out in the country and I'll just drive along, you know, country roads. And my point is that nature for me, animals and nature and things of beauty, actually provide for me that meaning and that connection, whereas sometimes people don't. So I'm offering that for others as a possible resource.
Okay.
For meaning and fulfillment.
Okay, well that's a very good point. You know, how we can find that meaning in friendships, whatever. You mentioned being in the outdoors. There's all kinds of outdoor activities that we can be involved with where we can find like-minded people. Anybody else have any ideas on how you find people that you connect with? Any other people, whether it be outdoors, music? What other interests do people have that they can, you know, take and, you know, find friendships? Any thoughts? Okay, it's something to think about. No, go ahead.
For me, I mean, it goes back to pets, that, you know, if you can't get those fulfilling friendships with people, or you don't have the energy to pursue them, you know, because you're working full-time job and you have responsibilities or what
right.
have you,
right.
just having a pet. I mean,
okay,
that's
well, having a pet, as I said, it could lead to other pet owners that you could meet. Anybody
mm-hmm.
like to travel? Any other... What hobbies do people that are on the call, can you mention the hobbies that you have?
Yes, I'm Martha, and travel is my favorite thing. You just did the magic word for me, and I can't wait to get back to England in May. This will be my fifth time, but I'm a big traveler all over Europe, and I just love to travel, and I meet a lot of people that way.
Okay.
But,
so traveling is a good place to meet.
Martha, do you go in groups, like with the Elder Hostel?
Well, would you believe that I'm going on my first Elder Hostel trip this time to England? It's a garden tour.
Oh.
We should have an HSC.
Oh, wait a minute. Who's? tell us about it. I want to go. Yeah, I want to go.
You know what, Martha, why don't you mention the trip?
Well, it's England's great garden heritage from Sissinghurst to some other place. And we're going to go all through England. And, you know, it's an educational thing, as you know, because you know about Elder Hostel. And so you'll have lectures. You'll see all the beautiful flowers. And it's going to be just fabulous.
Martha, can you do me a favor? Can you put that information on the message board so other people can see, and maybe you might have other people going on the trip with you?
I would love if others would join me because I'm going alone for the very first. You know, I'm divorced, and you know, so I travel alone. I've done a lot of. I'm a teacher, but I'm retired now. So when I always would travel in the summers, and then after I wasn't married anymore, I would go on Globus tours and other tours. But because I am also, as the other gal said, one of the HSPs, and I'm extremely sensitive, but I also am outgoing. I'm a survivor of many things, which is, you know, so I really had to reach out and so forth.
Right.
It's just a wonderful thing. So what I did was I would eat lunch with one group and supper with another, but I've never taken a roommate. But to save money, this time I am taking a roommate. But if you want to come along.
See,
no,
this is
a pipe
for your connection here. You know what, Mark, if you could put that on the message board, you might get some takers for that.
Yeah.
You know, that's right, because I'm convinced that, and I have friends. My friend and her husband just went out to Seattle with Elder Hostel, and maybe you folks know they've changed the name to Exploratus. And it used to be that you had to be, they liked you to be 55 or over, but now they're not so strict on the age. And it's educational, nonprofit, and like all over the world. So
wow.
Okay, this is something that other people might be interested in. In fact, as I said, you might want to put this on the message board. Any other things?
I will.
Any other activities that, if you have a certain interest, you might want to put that on the message board, and possibly you might be able to connect with other highly sensitive people in our group.
We need Christmas and
we have over 240 members now from all over the country and the world. So possibly you might find someone who shares your interest. Other interests could be maybe different types of food. Anybody interested in certain types of food or restaurants? Anybody on the call interested in that? This is something that you might want to place on the message board. This is something where we might pose a question on the message board saying, what are your interests? And maybe through that, contact each other, because you can just click the name on the members list, and you can email them directly, or you could put it on the message board, for all to see.
My hobby is lighthouse collecting, but Cliff, I would love it to speak to email some of the other folks, in the friendship circle, but I don't know if you want to do that,
Okay, well, why don't you place that on the message board, and then people can either reply on the message board, or they can click your name and they can do it privately. So they could you could put it out to the group if you feel comfortable doing that, or if you find somebody from your area who you want to connect with, you can just email them, click their name and you can email them directly. So you could do either or, you could put it out to the group or whatever.
Thank you.
But these are ways to to connect. When I first started the group, it's going to be 2 years, the end of March. I wanted to educate other highly sensitive people about the trait, because most highly sensitive people don't know about it. So it's one thing to give out information; it's another thing to try to connect other people, and that's something that's a little hard to do, especially when most of us on the call don't know other highly sensitive people. And because we don't know we're highly sensitive, we don't know what it means. And, I think I wanted to provide a forum where other highly sensitive people can meet, whether it be on the phone, whether it be have meetup groups, whether it be anything. Okay, you mentioned, Martha mentioned the trip. Anybody else that's going on a trip can post that. And, you might have some takers, even though you don't live in the same state or the same country, there's a possibility that the interest might be there, and maybe you can make arrangements to meet.
Mm-hmm.
So these are ways that we can develop friendships. Anybody else have an interest that they've developed some friendships with, or any other thoughts on that? Because that's very important. How do we find the friendships that are going to fulfill us? Any other questions, comments, or whatever on that? Because that's very important.
Cliff?
Yes.
Oh, this is Pat. Hi.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, how you doing, Cliff?
Welcome.
I just recently got interested in a kayak, and I might have mentioned that before, but to me it was very peaceful just to get out there in a boat, although I'm a novice, and I thought nature lovers and lady that suggested she likes photography, she might be interested in something like that too. And I thought, once you get out in the pines and those little streams and everything, it's just a thought. But
how did you happen to start kayaking? Is it something you've always been interested in?
Well, I kind of was really thinking about, because I do love nature myself, and I had this friend. She's 61 and she does whitewater canoeing, for God.
Wow.
She's up in Canada. She's been doing it for 30 years. And she kind of got me out there, and I just fell in love with it. It's just the connection was right there.
Okay, so it's something you've never so it's something that you've never done, that you never did before. It sounded interesting, and you just thought you'd try it.
Is that correct?
And
I thought it'd be great to go out with a few people to do that.
There you go. So that's another way. As I said, you might want to look online. You look at, maybe it's a good idea to think about what interests that you have or interests you'd like to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can develop friendships from that.
Well, there are
Pat, that's another avenue of ways to meet other highly sensitive people.
Well, there's lots of varied ages that go out. There's whole clubs that just go out kayaking, and it would be a really good way to meet people.
Right. So that's a thought that that's a new thought for all of us, you know, kayaking. Any other? Thanks for sharing that, Pat. That's a very good example of how we can meet other people. Any other interests? Any other passions or something for the group?
Cliff, this is Gillian. Yeah, I totally agree about all these outdoor activities. I happen to be a nature lover myself, and absolutely love kayaking. I feel like that's such a great HST activity. It's so, you know, serene and almost meditative. I've been doing that for almost a year, probably a year or so now, and I love hiking, and basically anything outdoors that gets me into nature is just really, really calming, and you can meet a lot of different people through, you know, various meetup groups that have similar type interest. And I just tried snowshoeing for the first time this past weekend, and, you know, that was with a meetup group. So there are lots of ways to do it. And
That's very good in the fact that other meetup groups, okay, it just seems that meetup, there's interest for everything that you could think of.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to, you know, that's a good point. You might want to look at other meetups in your area, see what interests you. Now, I know that, Gillian, you have a lot of interests.
Mm-hmm. I do.
You have a lot of interests, which is good. In fact,
Pretty much all
I don't want to put you on the spot, but I want you to mention
some
of your interests because it would be interesting to other people. Tell them what your other interests are.
Let's see. I'm really passionate about yoga. I feel like that's really just a great, great way to, you know, be centered and just it's very like heart opening. And somebody had mentioned earlier that they look for friends that, you know, you connect with on a heart to heart level. And I couldn't agree more with that because I look for people that are very open about their feelings and their emotions and how they, you know, how something makes them feel rather than at a superficial level. I'm also vegetarian, so I'm part of lots of vegetarian dining groups. So, you know, I live in the New York area, so I end up trying lots of different restaurants. And
why don't you mention your blog?
Yeah, I was just thinking, would that be appropriate? I have a vegetarian blog. I'll post a link. I'll put something on the discussion board about that. But I have a vegetarian blog. I've been vegetarian for over 20 years, and I do dining reviews of places in the New York City and New Jersey area. And I've got a passion
that's
for
neat.
Lots of different things. Yeah, that's actually something new also because I like to write, so that's another one of my interests. And yeah, lots of outdoors things. Skiing is another one. I just find it just really, you know, just beautiful being out there, you know, in nature.
I'd like to also mention that Gillian was at our last meeting last Sunday. We had an in-person meetup in North Brunswick, New Jersey, and we talked about the law of attraction, and Gillian brought some of her vegetarian cookies, and they were delicious.
Yeah, they're actually vegan.
Gillian, I think I had one of your cookies, and it was very good. It was, was it red cookie? It was red, I guess.
It was what?
It was
red. I think it was. It was in like a bakery box, and it was red.
No, mine were home baked.
It was the peanut butter.
I thought it was one.
It was the peanut butter.
They must have been all gone when I went up there.
Wow.
They're actually vegan, so there's no dairy products, and I make them with organic ingredients, so it's all very mindful as to, you know, what I'm putting in there, and in terms of health, you know, I picked ingredients specifically that are healthier than others, like whole wheat flour and very the sugar. It was I use sucanat, which is like a raw sugar cane, and it's healthier than, say, white sugar and lots of other different types. So, you know, a lot of thought went into those cookies.
What is it called?
Sucanat. It's like dehydrated cane juice.
Is that like stevia?
Similar to stevia, yeah. Yeah, this, I think stevia is from a plant. This is from sugar cane.
Hmm.
I think the what you use tastes much better, though, than stevia.
Yeah, it also retains a lot of energy.
Better than stevia?
Yeah, it actually retains a lot of the nutritional content. So,
I'm sorry. Could you just spell it? Because I'm not supposed to eat sugar anymore.
Okay. Oh, okay. It's S-U-C-A-N-U-T. I think it's an acronym for Sugarcane Natural.
S-U-C-A...
N-U-T.
Oh, N-U-T. Oh, okay.
Another
I'll go to Whole Foods.
Yeah, for sure they'll have it. Another good sugar is agave nectar, which is, it almost has the consistency of honey, and it's also a more nutritious sweetener, and it's actually from cactus, and it's appropriate for diabetics. Yeah, it's appropriate for diabetics, so it's low
on the glycemic. I'll have to look into that.
It's very tasty.
Yeah.
I tried making my peanut butter cookies with agave nectar, but they didn't turn out so well. So
I'll catch you the next time around. On that. Okay, but these are all activities that get you closer to the kind of relationships you want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else on the line that are in other meetup groups for other types of activities that bring them in contact with other like-minded people?
I'm in another meetup group.
Okay.
This is a mom's meetup group. It's for stay-at-home moms. I have two young children, and they have a lot of activities. And one activity that they actually are contemplating doing that our group, you know, maybe a suggestion for our group is a book club. Because I don't know about everyone else on the call, but I know I really enjoy reading. And I think that we might have more commonality of the type of books that we choose to read. So that's something that I would be probably interested in if I had the time.
Okay. Now, these are things that I help people place on their message boards because I'm always looking for ideas to have, you know, activities, whether it be in person or whether it be on the phone. And I'm really open to any ideas, and you've all brought up some very good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when the weather gets warmer, maybe we can do more outdoor things, and there's different activities that are coming up. Does everybody get my newsletter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
Because I do mention activities, I live in New Jersey, not only in New Jersey, but there are other things that come up all over the country. And something that's coming up soon is it's a HSP retreat. I forgot where they're going to have it, but if you check my latest newsletter.
Black Mountain, Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah, they have Jacqueline Strickland. She has one or two HSP retreats per year, and they're normally in, I think she's had a couple in England. She's had them all over the world.
I went on one in the Catskills.
Did you?
Yeah, I went. I met Jacqueline Strickland.
Okay, was that the last one?
I know about her too because I know I'm on her website. How was that?
There were about 30 of us, and it was really fun. I had a single room because I prefer a single room. But anyway, it was very nice in the Catskills. It was called Menla Mountain Center, and I flew from Michigan to, where was it, Albany, I think, and then I rented a car, and I drove down for 2 hours to Menla in the Catskills in New York, and it was really nice, and Jacqueline Strickland is very nice, and she had us do a collage, like an art project. We did art projects. We listened to music. We went for a walk. We got into clusters. She talked to us about different HSP clusters, and then we all talked about our own feelings and what it was like to be an HSP, and it really ran the gamut, you know, of all different personalities.
Yeah, that must have been the last one that she had because one of the members of our group had gone there also, and she said that she had a very wonderful time too.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
so
it was good.
How many people did you say went?
About, I would say, anywhere between 25 and 30, maybe 20, something in there, 20, maybe 28.
Okay, and all from all over the country?
All over the country, yep. But here's the curious thing. We all got along. Everybody ate together. We talked a lot. We did collages. We did art projects. I exchanged my name and number and my email. They gave us a whole list of all the people.
Right.
nothing followed through. Nothing. Not one person. Not one. And I'm disappointed because I like to meet more HSPs.
Well, you know what? It's very funny you mention that because when I first, when I was in the process of writing my book, I went to Kripalu in Lenox, Massachusetts. They have different types of events there. And I found out that Elaine Aaron was going to be giving a 3-day, conference there. So, as I said, I'm located in New Jersey. This is in Massachusetts, so it was within driving distance, which was good. Anyway, there had to be gear. It was about 25, 30 people, and it was really a very enlightening time. And that's when I thought about getting groups together. And as it turned out, Elaine Aaron did the foreword for my book, so I was able to meet her personally, and she had a foreword for the book, and I wrote about, in fact, on my website, you look at the book excerpt, it'll mention one of the chapters in my book is about my time at when I met Elaine Aaron. Okay?
I know. I have your book, Cliff. I know.
So I really had a plan for the trip because here I was going to something that was with strangers and at a place I've never been to, and I really had to prepare for it.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I'd like you to buy my book, but if you don't, you can see the free excerpt of the chapter when I met Elaine Aaron and what I went through. But at the end of the conference, we had a list of other people, and I did contact other people, and sure enough, no one else contacted me.
No.
That was very weird. I don't know why.
It is kind of strange. It is kind of strange where I think that we're kind of conflicted in the fact that we want to have friendships, but sometimes we don't make the time and the effort to do so.
But you'd think in that setting that people would have felt safer, you know.
I know. I can't figure it out. But, I just heard another incident where nobody corresponded with one another.
Very interesting.
So I don't know why that is. I think that it takes time for people to be comfortable. And if you're in a situation where you're out of the state or out of the country or whatever, it's kind of hard to maintain a relationship or to start a relationship when it's kind of a long distance kind of thing. I find with the highly sensitive person friendship circle, when I first started it, a friend of mine told me about meetup.com, and I saw that there wasn't a group for highly sensitive people in my area, but there was 26 people interested in the group, and they needed an organizer. Okay, I became the organizer of the group, and not one of the 26 has ever joined the group. And these are people that were in my local area.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about, and we have people in our group now that are in our town, but they can't or they won't come. And I try to make it as easy as possible. I say it's a safe, supportive, non-judgmental atmosphere. And when people come, I find that they want to come again. And it's got to be a gradual process when you get together with other people. And I think we have to give ourselves a chance to do that, but also we have to kind of push ourselves out of our comfort zone sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. I was shocked that nobody followed up on friendships or emails or writing or anything. Nothing.
That surprises me a great deal because I've been looking on the website of Jacqueline Strickland, and I figured that people would get very close. They always show the pictures of all the participants, and everybody looks so happy and warm and friendly, and I'm just surprised that nobody reached out.
Mm-mm.
Why do you think no one got together? Do you have any theory on that?
I really don't know. I think maybe, like you said, we were from all over the country, and it was hard to see each other. You know, you'd have to travel, buy a plane ticket,
email.
That kind of thing.
People could still email each other, though. You know,
yeah.
May I offer a suggestion, Cliff?
Please.
Of what I think. I love Dr. Elaine Aaron, and of course I have her books. And she says, of course, she's talking about all of us folks that are HSPs, but she talks about people, and I'm one of these, that there's an overlay. If we had a traumatic childhood, then it adds other stuff. And that's what I had, you know, a rather severe traumatic childhood. And I've, you know, had a lot of therapy to help myself. So, I mean, if you start out with being an HSP, and then you have trauma in childhood, and not everybody does, you know, that maybe some of these folks had that, and they weren't self-actualized to the point of reaching out.
Well, that's the thing. We when all is said and done, we've all had our – everybody can say they've had something in their childhood, and I think we really have to be motivated to seek help if we need it. If we need counseling, if we need to talk to other, you know, to other people about it, we need to really seek that out. And I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult, but I think it's, if you have a strong desire to change, then you're going to take the steps to make the changes that you need. Okay,
well, I think that you hit the nail on the head, Cliff, if you have a strong desire.
And that's why I want to point out the positive aspects of friendships. You know, as I said, they improve the quality of your life. They increase your self-esteem because you feel better about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it allows you to grow. You know, Pat had mentioned that, you know, she took on a new interest, and it just opened up a whole new world for her. And sometimes we just have to give ourselves that chance to grow. And, you know, we're physically and emotionally happier when we're in, you know, friendships. And friendships are different things to different people, and we have to decide what kind of friendships that we need. I just want to hear some thoughts on HSP friendships. This is something that I've been doing some research on, but also I just wanted to throw it out to the group. Some thoughts on HSP friendships. You could say true or false on this. Do you think that we might take more grief in relationships than others?
More what? More grief?
More grief. Or more grief or more negative aspects of friendships than other people. Do you think that we do so more than others?
I don't know what you mean.
Okay, well, do we tolerate bad things from people more than others?
Yeah, I don't think that has to do with sensitivity. I think it has to do with emotional health.
Okay, well, that's okay. I'm glad to hear that. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
I think I used to when I was much younger, but I've learned to value what friendship really is. So if somebody's really negative or judgmental, then, you know, I kind of don't establish or continue a close friendship with them.
Okay.
So I would say no to that.
Okay, well, that's a sign of growth.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sign of growth,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we, that's why hopefully that you're on the call, that you join the group, that you're, you know, trying to find out more about yourself, and that's the purpose of this. So this way, you know, we're going to have that self-esteem to not take things that we don't have to take.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another thing, something else I wanted to point out. Do you think that we might stay in relationships longer than others?
I can't answer that. I'm happy with my
relationship. Okay, well that's good. That's good. I have to say though, in my younger years, I might have stayed in something longer than I should have.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I don't know. Sometimes we feel we have the obligation to stick things out longer.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a good thing, but also it could be a bad thing where we might stay in something longer than we should. That might be toxic to us.
That one, I agree with the other lady that said that's more emotional character than HSP.
Right. Well, I'm glad to hear that because I believe that too. I believe that too. And what I try to do is dispel myths that we highly sensitive people are different, but we're not. The difference is, you know, we do have a heightened sense of awareness and a heightened sense of feeling, but the issues that we have are issues that are common to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes sometimes we might exaggerate our differences, but when you think about it, we're not that much different than others.
I would agree.
So in a way, that's a good thing that we're not using this, quote, HSP label as a crutch or as an excuse to not have the kind of relationships and friendships that we would like.
Chris, you had mentioned something about
taking
on negative aspects of people. And I've had people come to me and tell me things because they said that they thought they could confide in me. I guess I'm a good listener, and I usually, keep things to myself. But and I think maybe it's because if other people think you're receptive to hearing things about them that they wouldn't tell somebody else, a lot of those things are negative, you know.
Okay, but you know what? You just brought up a very good point. People do confide in us because we are good listeners. Okay, we're good friends. See, that's another thing I want to point out too. We are good friends, and we mentioned at the beginning of the call. We expect other people to be the same kind of friends that we are.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably.
We hope, but we don't always get what we get.
Okay, so in order to cut down our frustration level, what can we do?
Work on healthy boundaries.
Have healthy boundaries. That's a good one. How about realizing that other people are different than us? Maybe tolerance. I'm not saying that we have to tolerate their behavior.
Well, here's the thing for me. I'm divorced many, many years. I don't have any children. So it's been a long, lonely road for me. And I have to tolerate being alone. And I've solved part of that problem by being with my cats and my dog.
Okay.
And I've solved the other half of the problem by seeking fulfillment in nature and with me, my camera, and flowers, or me, my camera, and bridges, or horses, or country roads, or something like that. Because, frankly, I'd rather be alone with my pets or my camera in nature than with anybody who's superficial or judging or critical or in my face.
Okay, you're making definite choices now, which is good. Okay, you're most likely to find the kind of people that you want to be around. You mentioned you have many interests. Okay, there's got to be photography clubs. There's got to be interest in horses, in dogs, in cats. There's a ton of groups that are probably in your area, and maybe a place to start is meetup.com, and maybe go to a couple of things that are near you. All you have to do is put in your zip code and, put in, see if there's any groups at all, okay, because this way you can do all this. You can have your interests, and you can meet other people sharing your interests, and through that, you're going to meet other people, and hopefully you're going to find a relationship that's satisfying to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely have a list of the kind of things that you want. So why don't you concentrate on that list and forget about what you don't want? Because there's plenty of what you don't want, but there's probably more of what you do want. And I think that the more you focus on something, the more you're going to, like the law of attraction, the more you think about what you want, the more you're going to attract the kind of people into your life that's going to make your life more fulfilling.
Hmm.
You know, it's sometimes we need to talk to other people. So that's the reason for this call. Sometimes you need to get other points of view. I'm sure this is something you probably have thought about, but sometimes you need to hear other people say it and to hear other people's experiences. And hopefully you're going to listen to the replay of this call. And hopefully you're going to get some ideas, and you can have a plan.
Cliff,
sure.
I want to thank you for founding the newsletter for HSPs and gathering us all together tonight for the teleconference and encouraging the lady to post her England trip on your website. And, you know, it's like when I have a lonely day, I'm going to come home and I'm going to log on to your website and I'm going to feel like I'm amongst friends and family.
Okay, well, you know what? First of all, I'm very appreciative of you saying that, because this just inspires me to do more of this. And also I'd like to have, you know, whether in my book or whether I write things in my newsletter, I try to personalize it, where I don't want it to be clinical. I like to put personal stories, which is why I like to write about other people. So sometimes, you know, I've written about other people from our group. In fact, Gillian was a featured HSP last year. I think it was in the April newsletter. Of her interest in the blog. Okay, if you go to my website, you can see the archive of the other, I think it's 18 newsletters that I've done. So you might want to look at the April one to see, you know, you could see the story about Gillian.
How do we get to the archive?
You just go to my website, www.thehighlysensitiveperson.com, and you'll see newsletter. You click the link for the newsletter. And then you'll see the archives of the other newsletters that I've done. Also, I've been asked to do a monthly stint on Blog Talk Radio. If you go to my website, you'll also see the links. You can hear the recorded versions of the interview. So I have a lot of different information. In fact, I also have Jacqueline Strickland is also on the resource section. Other HSPs. I try to make the newsletter. I don't want it to be terribly long because I want people to read it, but I want people to be interested in it and the fact that hopefully they're going to read it. Any thoughts that you have about topics that you might be interested in, or if you would like me to have a story about you, please email me and be glad to do a story about you. Whether you're starting a business, whether you're have an interest, whether you're going on a trip, Martha, we can mention Martha's trip. I've mentioned also in the last newsletter, I mentioned the HSP retreat. That's going to be, I think it's in April. So you could look at other things on my website, and also I have products on the website that are particularly of interest to highly sensitive people, because these are products that I use. In fact, one of the products is a product that Gillian told me about. She traveled to Seattle, and she told me about this aromatherapy product, that it's like an inhaler, and I had gotten some of them, and it's like a Vicks inhaler, and you just inhale. I have one for stress. I have one for headache relief. I have one for mental clarity, and it's really good because it gives you that clarity or the stress relief you need, and it's also good for headaches, and I have other products on there that are for headache relief, and you might want to look at the product section. These are products that
really
I've tried.
Were.
These are products that work. I really thank Gillian for that, because that's a product that I use, and also other people have bought it and used it. And I'm always on the hunt for other products, so which could be helpful to highly sensitive people. So I'd like to have more of that. I also want to have more in-person meetings. We had a very successful one last week. I'd also like to do more teleconferences and maybe teleseminars. What I mean by teleseminars, to get more in-depth with a topic, and also I actually have notes for the topic that I lecture on. The handouts can be anywhere from 8 to 14 pages, and it's like a workbook type of thing where, you know, people can do the exercises after. So what I like to do is if I'm doing a live event, I'd like to have more give and take conversation-wise and have them look at the notes afterwards. And as I said, they're fill-in-the-blank type of thing. Like with my book, to highly sensitive people need the time to think about the answers for themselves. So it's a matter of communicating verbally, communicating, you know, through words, and also something like this where we're doing recorded versions of it, where people from all over the world can hear what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And this way they get ideas. I have a member from Kyoto, Japan, that's very thankful to have a group like this because she has no one in her country that has this. And she's going to be getting the recorded version of this. And I hope that she gets information. And we've gotten members from all over the world. I just can't believe how they just found us. And I'm not a technical person, so I really need to get more information on how we can do more international calls. So if anybody has any ideas on that, I'd be interested in finding out because of the time differences and everything else. Maybe I need to experiment with different times.
Right.
And
like do it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon so that the people in England, you know, can join in because it'll be 9 o'clock there.
Well, that's it. Right. So, I mean, all these things have to be figured out, and also people are in different schedules. Okay, I've tried to have meetup groups during the week. I've had things on weekends, and it's hard to find that common balance. But I think that for in-person meetings, I think Sunday is probably the best days. And for teleconferences, Thursdays have been good days. Any other days that you can think of? Any other thoughts or ideas that you have about this? Because I'd like to get a lot of, you know, more people on the line. I know that, you know, some people are on the line that don't feel comfortable, you know, talking. I understand that. I don't make it, you know, I try to make it as comfortable as possible for people to talk. But also people like to observe and to listen after the call, which is why I thought about doing the recorded version. So hopefully that's helpful. And hopefully, another thing that I want to mention too, I really appreciate it if you can rate the meeting because other people look at that and hopefully that will encourage other people to be in the call. Also, mm-hmm. any comments that you have, good or bad, I really am trying to learn everything. I try to learn different things and I really am open to ideas and thoughts that you have because my main concern is to improve. And to make mm-hmm. these calls and in-person meetings as meaningful as possible for everyone.
Cliff?
So I'm really open to that. Yes.
Cliff, this is Martha. I also want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for all that you do. You know, it's just great, you know.
You
feel it coming out of your pores. You know what I mean? You're giving a great deal, and it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you for that. And something I want to mention, too, I really went out of my comfort zone to actually do something like this because when this is first suggested to me to do something like this, I mean, it was a real stretch. I mentioned in my book about how it was a stretch for me to actually talk about my life in a public forum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and some of the things that I have in my book are things that I never really discuss with people that are closest to me because, it's, you know, sometimes things are painful.
Mm-hmm.
And writing is, you know, whether you want to write a book or whether you want to do anything, sometimes writing is a good thing for all of us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Writing, okay, you want to put things down on paper. Because when you put something down on paper, it's concrete, okay? Mm-hmm. With friendships, for example, you might want to put on a piece of paper things that you want to look for in a friendship,
mm-hmm.
okay? So you'll have a written plan of what you can do. Okay, you'll have qualities that you're looking for, maybe interests. You might want to think of different ways, you know, have a list of things that you can do to actually, you're going to take the initiative. See, that's another thing. We need to take initiative for our life, and that's not very easy to do. When I started this group, I really wanted to get a group together because I just felt it was necessary, and especially after I went to the conference with Elaine Aaron, how I got so much out of it, meeting other highly sensitive people. It was the first time in my life that I ever was involved with so many highly sensitive people in one room for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a very enlightening experience for me. And when I had the opportunity to start a group, of course, I was very apprehensive about it. Because it's not easy for me to do things in person. That's another thing that I struggle with. I do have social anxiety, and it's not easy for me to get in front of a group and to talk in, you know, in public, and to do something like this. As I said, I'm not a technical person. Okay, I had to find about different things that we can do and how we can do it, and to do something like this and have something in a recorded form, it's very challenging. Mm-hmm. Also, I was on Facebook and Twitter, and people were contacting me to do things. That's how Liz Bach, the narrator of the Blog Talk Radio, she contacted me through Twitter, and she asked me if I would be interested in doing a radio show with her, and that really scared me to death, and it still does. It still does. I mean, you know, I said, well, how long are we going to be on the show? So she says, I'll be on as long as you're comfortable with. And it turns out we were on for like 45 minutes to an hour. That's just amazing.
How often did you do it, and how often are you going to do it in the future?
Okay, well, we did one in November, and she said afterwards that it was the most widely attended show that she had, because you can download the interviews. As I said, I have it on my website. You can hear the actual interviews. So you can hear the archive of it. But she knows how many people are on the line. They don't necessarily ask questions, but she knows how many people are on the line, and also there's how many people download it. So she got a very good reaction from that. And she also, she wanted to start a monthly show in January. So we did one in January. We did one in February, and I'll do it in March. And I'm having a plan of doing different topics, and that's something that I'm going to send group emails out of when it's going to be. You can be on the live call, or you can hear the recorded version of it. So I think that's how we got a lot of our international members, because I put the link on Twitter and Facebook. Okay, you look at the Highly Sensitive Person Friendship Circle Meetup page. If you go to the home page, you'll see my Twitter link, and also you'll see my Facebook link. So I try to post questions and thoughts and ideas. You know, I try to post things on a regular basis, and that's how we get other people too. So it communicates with other people. It's getting yourself out there, and that's something that I want to leave with all of you. If you really want to develop the friendships that you want, you got to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got to get out there, and you can't be afraid, because highly sensitive people are very intuitive, and we have to have the confidence to use that intuition, okay, because we know who's good for us and who's bad for us. We just have to trust what we already know. Okay, if something doesn't feel good, it probably isn't good in anything. Okay, and we have to, since we do have this gift, since we do have this heightened sense of awareness, we need to do that.
Right.
So hopefully, what I try to do is I'm getting my thoughts and feelings out there. I'm trying to be an example for other highly sensitive people to have the confidence to venture forth whatever direction they want to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you get some ideas. As I said, you'll listen to this call, you'll listen to other things that we've done, and that's how you take what will work for you, and you use it. Okay. And the more you do that, the more you initiate going out of your comfort zone, the better off, and the more successful relationships you're going to have.
And having the support system of your wonderful newsletter, these wonderful teleconferences, and all of the resources that you just listed. I know for me, I can only tolerate being alone for so long, or with my pets or with my camera, I need people. I need that human interaction. I need that human connection, and I need that human support.
Right. And that's very important. Whether you're a highly sensitive person or not, everybody needs that support. And we have to know what kind of support we need. And that's how we, and when you communicate with other people, it's so much different. We can logically think of answers for ourselves, but sometimes we need to we have to talk to another person about it or hear other people's opinions, and it kind of validates what we already know.
Yeah, and I just want to interject that we need other than therapists, because I've gone to therapy for a while, and it's wonderful, and I appreciate a good therapist, but we need friends. We need people that
yes.
we're not paying to listen to us or to agree
That's
to us.
Right.
You know.
I agree. I go to therapy, but I also need my friends to care.
Well, everything has its place. Everything
yes.
has its place, and we all have to know what we need. You know, if you need therapy, that's fine, but you have to know what you need. And, you know, sometimes you might have to go, you know, like you have to go to a doctor for certain things, okay? We have to do that. Okay, we need a combination of a lot of things, and I think that hopefully, you know, you get ideas and you'll be able to talk to people. And also that I hope that people will communicate with each other more. You know, you'll feel comfortable to be on the message board that, or to post something to a group. Or if you want, you can always email me, and I can post it for you. Okay, so this way, you know, we're going to get ideas. We're going to get different points of view. And, you know, I'd like to do more of these teleconferences. And also, as I said, we're going to be doing teleseminars. And I'm really open to other things that you have. Now, also, I really would appreciate if you tell other people about our group.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there really is strength in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And it would really help all of us to get more people in the group. So, as I say, if you can do that, I would really appreciate that. Any other thoughts, any other comments?
Well, I just want to say something a little bit off the topic, but it has to do with friendships, because if I was sitting around, you know, the family room with all of you right now and a roaring fire in the fireplace, I would tell you that I just finished the abridged book on tape of Shutter Island, and I am so scared of horror movies or movies where things pop out at you, but I was intrigued by the ads for Shutter Island. Plus, I like Leonardo DiCaprio, and I like Martin Scorsese, and I like Ben Kingsley.
Okay.
So I got the abridged book on tape, and I just finished it this evening, and it is fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic, and I would encourage everybody to get the abridged version of Shutter Island.
Okay,
it's
great.
Really well written.
Great, great. As I said, if you want to mention it on the message board, that would be great, because
Thank
any
you.
Resources, anything that you feel would help the group, I would really appreciate if you put that on there, because people look at it, and as I said, with this particular teleconference that we're having now, if you can rate the group and make comments on it, as I said, it's going to get other people involved, and I think that's going to make us stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the time is almost up. Time went by fast.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts or any other ideas?
Just thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay.
And thank you.
You know what? I thank everybody for that. I do want to mention qualities. I want to end this with qualities of good friendships. As I said, I kind of made a list of different things, and I kind of want to just keep this out for people to listen to. Okay. What are the qualities of good friendships? Non-judgmental, supportive,
mm-hmm.
accepting,
mm-hmm.
mutual trust, understanding, compatibility. A friend would be generally happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
They will be happy for you.
A friend wishes you well.
It wishes you well, rather than is being, you know, you want somebody
jealous.
To wish you well, right? You want somebody who's positive, constructive, allow you the room to grow. You want other people to have similar values. Somebody we mentioned before that will increase your self-esteem, that will have similar interests and values, growth through good times and bad. Someone you can confide in. That's very important for us.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing other friends and
confide
comments.
In. And someone who brings out your authenticity.
Yes. Yes. Good communication.
Good
communication. Good chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Kind, respectful,
mm-hmm.
good listeners, compassionate,
mm-hmm.
empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing
yep.
anything?
I'd like
okay,
to
these
add
are
li-
these are
center.
List. These are things that we can list on our to-do list for friendships. Okay, and the more we think about these things, the more we're going to seek these kinds of things out. So that's where that's how I would like to end it. Unless there's any other comments. Okay, I'd like to thank everyone for being on the call.
Thank you.
And as I said, if you have any comments, any questions, or whatever, I'm really open to them. And
How do we post on the message board? I'm on your email or your website. Where's the message board?
Okay.
I don't know how to do it either.
Okay, the message board. Okay, are you at the home page where the
Yeah, there's a guy holding his temples. Does life overwhelm you?
Yeah, that's me. That's me. Okay,
is that you?
Okay, if you go to the highly sensitive person friendship circle, the guy holding the guy with the beard, the glasses.
Oh no, there's a guy with a blue shirt holding his temples.
No, that's not me. I want you to go to the highly sensitive person friendship circle. The meetup page.
I don't know how to get there.
It's http.
///
www.meetup.com/HSP/friendship-circle/, and that should take you to the meetup page. Okay, it says welcome to the highly sensitive person friendship circle.
All right.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay. I'll say it again. It's HTTP.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then it's /// It's colon. Okay. HTTP colon.
Colon.
Right. /// www.meetup. /HSP/friendship-circle. That's all one word. /.
Okay.
If you go to that, you'll see the home page for the Welcome to the Highly Sensitive Person Friendship Circle.
Now I got it. There you are. Okay.
Okay, you got it. That's my
That's
my mug on the picture there. Okay. You go. Okay. If you look on the left hand side, you go to message board.
There it is. Message board. Yep.
Okay. You just click it, and then you could say, see where it says start a new discussion.
Yes.
You just click that, and then you can start a new discussion, and people can reply and view it. Okay.
Okay, great.
Now also, you'll see if you click the members on the left-hand side, you go to members.
Mhm.
Okay, now you can where it has the blue name.
Mhm.
You can just click the blue name and you can directly email the person you want to.
Oh. Okay, I see Jillian.
Gillian is on there. You'll see
Gillian. But, I see Gillian.
Okay,
yeah.
So you could click her. And as I said, you might want to look at the as I said, Gillian, I did a feature on. I think it was April of 2009, so you could see the story about her.
Great.
You'll see that, and as I said, you can just click the blue.
I see Martha. Hi, Martha.
Hi. And you are Phil. You're Phil, right?
I'm Phil. I'm there with a dog who is now deceased.
Beautiful, beautiful dog.
Yeah, thank you.
But see, the thing about this is, you know, you can put your picture, you can put your you can put whatever information you feel comfortable with.
How about do you think it's okay to put our personal email address there, Cliff?
You know what? I wouldn't suggest it because.
Okay.
I would just, you know, as I said, you can do that, but I would do that privately. It might be a good idea to do that.
Well, how do you do it privately?
Well, as I said, let's say you want to click me, for example.
Yeah.
Okay, you click my name, and then you put Okay, you send email. You see where it says my activity?
I'm not on the computer right now.
Okay. If you click my, let's say if you click my name and you want to email me privately,
yeah.
You would just go to my activity and it says send email. There's a link for that.
Oh, okay.
And you could just do that. You can click somebody just like that.
Okay.
Okay. And that would be good. That's just if you want to put something on the message board, people can respond to it, or just information, you know, like you mentioned about the England trip. That would be a good thing.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to do that. This is great.
Okay. Okay. And any other questions, any other comments? Okay. If that's it, we'll wrap it up. And meanwhile, I want you to look, you know, I send out group emails. You know, sometimes I have comments to make or some, you know, I'll mention when my next Blog Talk Radio event is. I'll mention about the meetups. And as I said, if there's anything that I have, any things that come up, I definitely email everybody so we can do that. Okay?
Okay,
so
thank you so much.
Thank you, and
you,
we'll speak to you soon.
You.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Good night. Good night.